Fellowship with God, I wanted to speak to you just a devotional here. I am with you. I am with you. Can you imagine if we really settled on that? The you know, the world around us, the United States around us, is falling apart, eager, smacking their lips to rush toward hell. It looks like everything's falling apart. And it's not that we don't care. We're sad for them. But we're not going that direction, because God has told us, I am with you. Two passages I would like to share with you just for some thinking here. The first is Psalm 73, starting with verse 23. We'll divide it into two parts, verse 23 and 24. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me up by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Here the psalmist is saying, I am continually with thee. Now, that is a situation where that's only possible if God is continually with him. I am continually with thee. These are the words that are like a safety net protecting you from falling into despair. But because you are human, because I'm human most of the time, you will always have ups and downs in your life. Things so pleasant or unpleasant that it takes you to heights and depths in your experience. But the promise of God's presence should limit how far you go down. When you remember that God is with you, your perspective changes. You haven't been abandoned. You aren't by yourself. You aren't lost in downtown New York, not knowing where to go, what to do. Instead of bemoaning your circumstances, he's right there. You can look to him for help. He's not only with you, but he is holding you by his right hand. He guides you with his counsel. He takes you into glory. Well, that's exactly the perspective you need. The reassurance of his presence, and the glorious hope of heaven, eternal presence. The next two verses in Psalm 73, the psalmist, just in a rapture of that fellowship with God, says, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart faileth. I feel it every day, he says. But God is the strength, literally in the Hebrew, the rock of my heart and my portion forever. To rest on the solid rock in your heart. The old preacher Alexander McLaren said, whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. His comment is this: if men would interpret the deepest voices of their own souls, that is what they would all say, because from the very make of our human nature, there is not one of us, howsoever weak and sinful and small, but is great enough to be too great to be filled with anything smaller than God. Our thoughts, even the thoughts of the least enlightened among us, go wandering through eternity. I mentioned before how when the world speaks of love, their mind goes to forever. They don't even recognize forever, but when they're talking about love. I've noticed another thing, that a lot of the songs talk about the rainbow and over the rainbow and beyond the rainbow. You know, it's a heavenly hope. When you wish upon a star, you're looking up to the heavens, making your desire known. Makes no difference who you are. anything your heart desired will come true. This is one of those things that the world denying God has this in their heart. And then Zephaniah 3:17, what a strange and lovely verse. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. God singing, rejoicing over you. Doesn't that take your imagination away? I was reading one guy, he says, I think he probably sings bass. I don't know. The voices that they hear in heaven sometimes sound like thundering waterfalls, but also sounds like a blaring trumpet, so I don't know. Albert Barnes, my old buddy, he says, what can he then not do for thee since he is almighty? Are you going to ask him something he can't do? What will he not do for thee since he will save? He will rescue. Whom then should we fear? If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. He is especially in the midst of us. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, John 1:14. Thenceforth, he is ever in the midst of his own, literally in our midst. Then he moves into the Trinity here, the triunity. He with the Father and the Holy Spirit come unto them and make their abode with them, John 14:23. Jesus said, my Father is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one, John 10:29 to 30. And then Barnes closes with this quote from Isaiah 62:5. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, think of the happiness of that wedding, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth, in the Hebrew, with the joy of the bridegroom over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. You know, this really sounds like a wonderful fellowship. We have this no matter what the world is doing. We have him rejoicing over us because he saved us from the world, taken us out of the world. So we can shake our heads and pity them for going the direction they go. But for us, the apostle said, yeah, they believe in all kinds of different gods, but for us, there's but one God. It's the difference between the way they think and the way we think. He says, when I was telling you not to deal with fornicators, I wasn't talking about fornicators of the world. You'd have to leave the world. And then he makes this phrase, what have I to do with the world? He says, I'm not a reformer of the world. That's not our goal. Presenting Christ and seeing these people change from the inside out. So I am with you. Message of joy, comfort, realization that he loves that relationship so much that he gave his son to accomplish it, and he is rejoicing over you like a bridegroom over his new bride. Comments or questions?